Hi guys, so I decided to begin a podcast, and earlier today I got to talk to Dr. Lisa Gardner, who owns Thrive Apothecary in Fort Worth, Texas, and I am researching a piece I'm doing for my reporting class about CBD oil and how it could be really beneficial for students who struggle with test anxiety and really just need to shut off their brain at night and get their sleep and kind of help them have a more relaxing focus and focus on peace. And yeah, so anyway, I kind of got the full scoop on her. She is she was an OBGYN, and about 7 years ago she left that practice and opened up her own medical practice and kind of started to fly solo. She got uncomfortable with writing prescriptions. She really wanted to go a more natural direction. And so now she owns Thrive Apothecary in Fort Worth, and I will put all of her information below, and enjoy. I'm a journalism major and I'm taking reporting right now. And so it's basically, she gives us a bunch of freedom and she's like, do like pick whatever piece you want to do, but we have to do like a story a week almost.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, or like once every 2 weeks. So I decided I want to do my next one on like CBD and how it could be like super beneficial for students, just because like right now I know Adderall is like super popular, and that's like, you know,
it has been.
Yeah.
I had students from TCU coming to me years ago, and they were like, can you just give me a script for a week just so I can get my test done? I was like, God, I mean, it's just asking, because they're so desperate, you know. Or they would get 30 of them and then they'd use them for their friends, and
yeah,
it's so bad, you know. And you do get kind of addicted to that because it makes you thin as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it an appetite suppressant, but it makes your mind like a machine, you know.
Yeah.
So you can understand why people want to be on that. It's like methamphetamine.
Yeah, that's why I was like hoping to do this article. That way it would kind of like show some people that maybe you can, there's like a healthier alternative.
Yes.
So I was gonna, my first question is to start off, tell me a little bit about yourself and your background with medicine, and then how it brought you to owning an apothecary.
All right. So I've been, I was an OB-GYN, and I retired from that about six, almost 7 years ago now. And, went on to start a hormone therapy and aesthetics practice. So just kind of got tired of the medication approach to things, and everybody was asking for pills, and all this time I was trying to get people off of pills, and I felt really uncomfortable with writing prescriptions, because I did at one point, you know, in my career, because that's what I was supposed to do. So I did write prescriptions for Xanax and Lexapro and Prozac, Wellbutrin, all the common ones. And I realized that year after year, when I would do somebody's, say, their annual exam or their PAP, well, woman exam, that they weren't getting better. So they were still rough. Nobody's improving. So, you know, these medications that the reps were coming in, you know, trying to sell the drug to me, you know, like to write the prescription, it was like, you know, the miracle drug, right? So, but they were coming back and they weren't feeling better, and they gained 20 pounds. And 2 years later, they're up 30 pounds. Their libido's dropping. So they're coming to me as an OB-GYN with the two major reasons that people come see their doc is libido, mm-hmm, and weight gain. And you start realizing, well, I'm writing prescriptions, it's making it worse. So what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? Seriously, like, what am I doing in my career? So I started looking at these women and I started realizing they look awful. They feel worse. They're getting divorces now after 20 something years, and all the, it's just,
wow,
insanity. Like, it's just going downhill fast. So, so I got out of mainstream medicine and I started, practice on my own 7 years ago. I've been solo practice ever since. And so I left the corporate medical deal to do my own thing, which is very unusual, very rare anymore that you see private practice docs, solo practice out there,
because
mm-hmm, everybody's scared, right? Nobody mm-hmm wants to be on their own and scared of business and failure and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So switched over to hormones only, and then incorporated the facial aesthetics, and then of course, you know, Cool Sculpting, and you saw the business. Mm-hmm. And then, so still, you know, I'm now dealing with women over 45, and then through menopause, that I'm still seeing they're doing the same thing. So they're on all these medications, they're on all this anxiety stuff, and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So once again, they're coming to me now. So now they're 45, 50. Again, their sex life's terrible because now they're menopausal, but they're gaining all this weight, but they're on these meds still from mm-hmm. like all these years. You know, I've seen women on this. Oh, I've been on it for 15 years. I've been on it since I was 15 years old. I talked to a girl the other day, 15 years old, and she's 32 now and is still on, and this was all online. She contacted me online. So all these years later, she's still on medication, and I'm like, it just blows my mind, you know? So I feel like our goal was like, if we have this many people with this much anxiety, which I would honestly say is 100% of people, not gonna lie. I mean, people are walking in either like on a scale of 1 to 10, everybody's got some anxiety. You know what I mean? Like it's a 2 right now. It'll be a 7 in 2 hours. It's all day long. So we realized not only is it a hormone lack, you know, for these women, and I take care of men now as well, by the way, but it's also an issue with getting them off medication, but what else can I put them on while I'm getting them off the other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when Trey and I were just like, we got to find something else. Like there has to be another way. And we started researching, like, what else can we do to pull them off the medication safely? Because if I, as a doctor, told you, okay, we're going off your meds, you would be like, I'm what? And that makes people have anxiety just thinking about, oh my gosh, I've got to get off my stuff.
Going
and
so low, yeah.
Yeah, and I've noticed when I have that conversation with people, they completely shut down. It provokes anxiety when I'm like, we've got to get you off this medication. You've been on it for 10 years, say for postpartum depression. Well, your kid's 10 now. So why are you still on this stuff? You know, postpartum mm-hmm. depression, I understand fully, but we're 10 years in now, your kid's 10. Why are you still on this crap? Because mm-hmm. doctors are still just refilling prescriptions. So instead of like, maybe you need to go talk to somebody, maybe just let's wean off of it, let's have confidence, go exercise, you know, those sorts of things. They're just refilling scripts. So that's where we kind of stepped in and said, we're not refilling prescriptions anymore. That's enough. But as I bring it to their attention, let's get you off this stuff. Let's be really excited about it. I've got to give them an alternative that's plant-based. So I do the hormone thing and now the CBD thing, because the CBD thing's taking just the rest of that edge off of what hormones can't. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like student, that's a different category of age, right? So mm-hmm. students, on the other hand, who are not menopausal and they're not having to deal with a hormone issue, sometimes birth control pills will affect your mood. That's what I deal with your age group. Mm-hmm. So, but what am I going to tell my girls who are 19 and 22 years old? Because I had 2 girls last week on the same day. What's worse, getting pregnant or being on a birth control pill?
Yeah.
I mean, both are, but one's going to suck more than the other, right?
For sure. So, yeah.
But I'm like, I'd rather see you. Okay, fine. I don't love the birth control pill, but it's better than the opposite. Mm-hmm. Keep you on the birth control pill, keep you then on something else like a CBD versus an Effexor or a Prozac. And both of those girls are on meds last week, 19 and 22 years old.
They're on Prozac at 19?
Yes. Since she was
crazy.
15. Since she's 15. And that's not okay, right?
That's
the other one's
so
on
wild.
Ambien. So the doc said put her on Ambien. I mean, you're talking 22 years old.
Why? That's so wild.
So how are you supposed to, you know, you date somebody and now, you know, you want to get married one of these days or whatever, and you look in your medicine cabinet and somebody sees, oh, she's on Ambien, she's on Prozac, she's
yeah.
on, I would be like, I'm running as
yeah.
fast as I can.
Like,
you
why are
I mean?
You on that? Yeah, for
why
sure.
Why are you on that?
Yeah.
So that's what it's causing. I think it causes stress to people that you're going out with if they know that you're on meds. But mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this generation, you guys, everybody's like, oh, I have anxiety. Yeah. I'm very open with it. Yeah. Like, it's just a thing. I'm watching Netflix. I have anxiety. I'm just like, wow, you know, when it was me and your mom's generation, we just didn't talk about it. It was like, just don't tell anybody. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
Instead of giving meds, CBD makes more sense because we have a system in our body for it. It's called endocannabinoid.
Endocannabinoid?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if we have a system for something, we don't have a Prozac receptor, right? Uh-huh. We don't have a medication prescription receptor, but we do have a receptor for CBD in the brain and in the body. So that's why if we call it the Boy Scout molecule. It's really fascinating. It's a molecule. So the CBD molecule floats around the body and it helps all systems, whether it's in the brain. That's why it can help people with Parkinson's,
ooh,
multiple sclerosis, PTSD. So multiple sclerosis, you know, is MS, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, there study after study, European usually studies are showing that this is kind of like that molecule that could be kind of like the all-doing, all-knowing molecule. You know, mm-hmm. like it can help all systems. So, you know, you have to, you know, like the other side of it, you have to remember too, is like pharmaceutical companies haven't really got their claws in this quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's not accepted. But once that happens, because it's already sort of happened, I don't know if you saw Trey's post recently. It was a seizure medication for kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's CBD, 100 milligrams syrup and sugar, fake sugar, and it's $32,000 a year.
What?
Yeah.
Can you just make that at home with CBD?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But it's okay, right? Because FDA, the FDA, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not always good, you know, because FDA approves things, but they can also withdraw. So sometimes FDA is like, oh, it's amazing. And you've seen that with medical devices. Uh-huh. Next thing you know, it's not okay. Then they're like, oh, we changed our mind. It's not what we thought it was. So we don't recommend it. You know what I mean? So FDA is not really, I don't think they're serving the people like.
Mm-hmm. And then that's where we kind of get into the whole like pharmaceutical debacle.
Yes. Yeah.
I was going to say, so is CBD 100% FDA approved?
No.
No, it's not?
Not at all.
Wow.
No. Only for their seizure medication in kids, and it's called Epidiolex. Epidiolex. Epidiolex.
Okay. So how is it that you guys are allowed to sell it?
So it's not... So it's they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really great question. So when pharma, they've tested this, I guess. We don't know. Well, we don't know for sure. But 10 years of testing is usually how long it takes to pass the FDA. So they can make a ton of money in it, but they can't make a ton of money on things like, not FDA, pharma. Go back to pharma. So if it's pharmaceutical, that's where all the money's made, right? Pharma. Uh-huh. So if there's only, okay, so for example, you've heard of compounding pharmacies, right?
Yes.
Okay. So say your mom goes and gets some cream made, whatever, at the compounding pharmacy, the FDA has no control over that. So the compounding pharmacies, you can sell stuff. Like I can get things made there that I can't sell in my office because Texas doesn't allow it or whatever. But you can make it at a compounding pharmacy and that's okay. They're covered.
Okay.
Even though it's not FDA approved. So there, it's all this very shady stuff going on. You know what I mean? It's just, so you can get a bottle of CBD for $60, you know, add some sugar to it for your kid and it's the same thing, right? It's like literally the same thing. Yeah. I mean, it's like buying really expensive shoes or going to DSW and it's the same shoe. I mean, let's face it, you know, they're all getting made in the same place. So, that's just really all it is.
Wow.
So that's how FDA gets involved. So it's usually medical devices or pharmaceutical, but they can't get their claws in this, just like they can't touch compounding pharmacies.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like a gray area that you have that you're working
very
around.
Much. Yeah.
So, what are some key So first, I want to ask, like, what exactly is CBD? Like, coming from a medical perspective.
So do you know how to, have you looked it up, like, how to spell it? Cannabidiol?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the name.
And what exactly is it? I know it comes from the marijuana plant, right?
Well, not ours.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay.
So, I thought you were, So, there's two different ways. So, yes, that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Texas, the one that we get for our store is from industrial hemp.
Okay.
Well, it's a Texas
the
thing.
The federally legal version of CBD is from industrial.
You want to stay for this because you could provide helpful for her. So here's Trey.
Hi.
Hey,
how are you?
Your mom was there, didn't she?
I'm not sure if we met, but I'm Emily, by the way.
Yeah, I hate FaceTime, by the way. So I throw that out there.
It's nice to meet you.
I'm pretty sure that he was there when that's Lisa Efron's daughter.
All right, so lay it on me. What do you need?
Okay, so I'm doing a story on, like, how CBD could be beneficial for students. And yeah. So my next question was, what are some of the key qualities of CBD, and how could it be useful for college students?
Okay, so I heard you talking about what is CBD exactly. So CBD is a cannabinoid that is extracted from a plant. Typically, it can be extracted from cannabis sativa, marijuana, which is going to have a high content of CBD, which is cannabidiol. So cannabidiol is just a cannabinoid that is found in a plant. So there's hundreds of cannabinoids found in the plant. The two most common that people talk about now are the cannabinoid CBD, which is cannabidiol, or the cannabinoid THC, which is most commonly associated with marijuana because it's psychoactive. So CBD, which is extracted from, like, marijuana, is going to have moderate levels of CBD in it, but high levels of THC. So you have therapeutic benefits, and you also have the psychoactive properties associated with the THC. Now, the difference in what we sell and what is federally legalized is our CBD is extracted from industrial hemp, which is in the cannabis family, but it's a completely separate plant. It's classified as a separate plant from the United States Department of Agriculture. So the differences are, this is bred to have very high levels of CBD with very low levels of THC. So you're getting the therapeutic benefits of cannabis without the psychoactive properties. So if you're talking about marijuana, the THC contents of marijuana is going to be nearly 30%. So 30% THC in a marijuana, like if you're going to smoke a joint, there's 30% THC concentrations. When you're talking about the THC concentrations in industrial hemp, it's 0.3%. So you'd have to move the decimal point two places over. So essentially, marijuana has 100 times more concentration of THC than industrial hemp is. So both of them have CBD, but industrial hemp is bred to have higher levels of CBD with extremely low levels of industrial hemp. And so CBD extracted from industrial hemp is what was federally legalized with the Farm Bill of 2018, which President Trump signed back in December. And essentially, and I'm giving you a lot of information, and I'm probably talking.
No, that's good. That's
okay,
good.
All right.
Yeah.
And so essentially what that did, the Farm Bill of 2018, what it did is it moved industrial hemp and basically removed it from the Controlled Substances Act, where it's been for 100 years. So it was in the Controlled Substances Act along with marijuana. They basically lumped them together, even though they're two separate plants. So it removed it from the Controlled Substances Act, which essentially no longer allowed the Drug Enforcement Administration to have any control over the sale of it. So it federally legalized the commerce of CBD. Well, it federally legalized industrial hemp and all extracts from industrial hemp, including CBD. So now it's classified as an agricultural commodity and not a drug. And so that's what's really started the big CBD boom nationwide, is it's federally legalized now. So that means banks aren't afraid to, you know, do business with CBD, with hemp farms or hemp businesses, which before was a big issue. Only certain banks would do business with us even. They considered us a high-risk business. But now it's federally legalized. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that the Farm Bill did, but that was the main thing, is it legalized industrial hemp and any extract from it. And it basically said states are not allowed to change the federal definition of what hemp is. So as long as it has that 0.3% or less of THC, it's federally legal in all 50 states.
Oh my gosh. So, like I was talking to Lisa earlier and I was telling her about how, and
do I look at you or do I look at myself? That's what I don't know on FaceTime.
It doesn't matter. But I was talking to her about how Adderall is like huge on college campuses.
You know, Emily, it's really funny because Adderall was a thing 10 years ago.
You talked to her about medical stuff.
Okay. Adderall.
I'm basically as smart as a doctor, but I'm
not. When it comes to CBD, we'll give him that.
Okay.
So, but no, it was really funny because it was definitely, this is not new. This is like old news. And in fact, about, I want to say eight.
Here's a good statistic for you. Do you know how many cannabis prescriptions were written in the 1920s?
Zero?
3 million.
What?
3 million medical cannabis prescriptions were written in the 1920s. I know a lot of stuff. but around the 1920s is when government control came about, and there was a gigantic prohibition on cannabis and hemp and all that because the pharmaceutical companies started to get more powerful. And the cotton industry in the 1920s got a lot more powerful and started this big prohibition on hemp, because hemp is also used to make clothing and textiles and things
paper.
Like that. And the cotton industry, they had a lot more money back then, and they began this huge lobby against the hemp industry. But yeah, in the 1920s, like 3 million prescriptions were written for cannabis.
All right, what?
You're so smart.
Thank you so much.
But Adderall is, it's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes really addictive because the weight loss part of it. So girls are like, oh my God, I get skinny and... you know, I can stay up all night. I mean, it's kind of the new no-dose, you know, like caffeine was back in the day. We used mm-hmm. to take these things. It was just straight caffeine. But this is a whole other deal now, but it's been around. And in fact, I want to say like 7-8 years ago, it was longer than that maybe, you couldn't get it because it was so overdone. So like I wrote a prescription and you couldn't fill it because there was a shortage of Adderall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so this is nothing new. This is like old news. And that shocks me that it's still around, like for college.
Yeah. So how would CBD become a good replacement for that? Or what are some
qualities?
Totally
different effects though, because you're not going to get weight loss like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you starve yourself basically with that stuff. You're not going to get that, and you're not going to get the alertness like that. Adderall alertness is level 12. I mean, that's like somewhere else, like mm-hmm. speed, right?
Yeah.
So the cool part about CBD, it makes you alert and in touch on a normal level. So it's not going to be, so because it reduces anxiety so much that it almost kind of not chills you out, but reduces anxiety, then you can think better. So you're not anxious about a test. You're not anxious about studying. You're not, you know, sleep deprived. It makes you go to bed at a decent time so you can wake up and study properly, not pulling all-nighters necessarily. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all kids are going to do that in school because you're going to go out and have a social life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's completely different than Adderall.
So do you think it would be a good idea to like maybe start weaning students off Adderall and put them on to, okay.
But I think, you know, the biggest thing is explaining they're not the same. They're not even close to being the same molecule
mm-hmm.
or the effect on the brain. It's not the same. So how do you convince a student, like, take CBD instead?
Mm-hmm.
How do you convince a kid or any, even an adult, how do I do that? That's the biggest challenge that I've got in the medical practice. Now, people walking into the CBD store, they already know they want it. Mm-hmm. Like, they already know I'm here to get it.
Yeah.
Like, I've got problems for whatever it is. They're there to get it. But me convincing people to come off of medications in the medical practice is a whole other issue because they're scared.
Yeah.
Because they're just used to doing the same old thing. So if you've got a student and they're on stuff, or they're thinking about getting on Adderall, how do you make it where, or how do you say, take it for a week, take Adderall for a week? I mean, if you've taken Adderall, you're not going to get, it's hard to convince somebody not to take it. Mm-hmm. Because it works that well. But then you get used to it, and then you're taking it. Now you're 25, and you're still on it. And now you're on Ambien because you have to go to bed, but now you're wired because you've been on Adderall all day. See what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like, how can you possibly talk somebody not taking Adderall when it has the benefits of you can study?
Yeah. For sure. And then you kind of get into that endless cycle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would rather present CBD to a student more like, you know, going into it as more than likely there's a lot of anxiety that comes around being a student. Mm-hmm. And maybe teaching a kid to have less of that, a different skill, so you're not nervous and you're not just making you feel like you can handle it. It sort of like makes you feel like alert enough that you can just, you get your shit together basically. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like
yeah.
you just have it together a little bit more. Adderall doesn't do that. Adderall's more of like, you know, when people are on, have you ever been around anybody on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just fast talking mm-hmm. and but their brains are 10 steps ahead but you can study. You know what I mean? That's like, it's like a pre-workout. Mm-hmm. You take a pre-workout and it just gets
wired.
Going. You're
yeah.
wired. Yeah, but people are on that stuff, you know, like, I guess it's kind of very similar to that because it makes you feel a certain way and then you react a certain way. So you're programming yourself to believe that I will be a better student if I take this.
Yeah.
I will be a better athlete if I take a steroid. I will be, that's why even like major athletes are willing to take that risk.
That's so crazy.
Because it's performance, right? Mm-hmm. So our society is so based on performance instead of like, let's have better study habits maybe mm-hmm. and don't go to that party.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of popping an Adderall after you've, you know, been in a drunken stupor. But then those kids become adults. And guess what they do? The same thing.
Yeah.
And then they wind up on, you know, what we call polypharmacy, which is multiple medications. And then that's who I have to deal with now is like dealing with an adult, which is the worst. I mean, it's like adults that are just like, you know better for sure. And like getting them off all this crap. So taking it as a student develops most of the time into something else. So I look at this conversation as like, how do you convince a student not to start Adderall, but to start something, either better study habits and just getting it together versus making bad decisions mm-hmm. or getting on set. If you are an anxiety prone person, looking at alternatives because Adderall is going to give you more anxiety.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that like CBD oil is more of like a healthier and natural alternative to Adderall?
It's not the same.
Oh, it's not the same.
You can't put those two things in the same category.
Okay.
So the speedy part of Adderall is like more. It's like you become more of a.
You're just like super duper wired.
Straight.
Okay.
You're just like you can like go and you're focused, like laser focused. Mm-hmm. But it's also an appetite suppressant.
But it's like
speed. I mean, you're literally just going and you can study mm-hmm. for hours on end. But so instead of like, I probably should study for that test 3 days in advance, right?
Yeah.
It's the old test of time. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on for hundreds of years in schools mm-hmm. that everybody waits till the last minute.
Yeah.
So you pop a pill, right? So, but I think it's what it's coming down to is as a general population, you know, and just doesn't matter if you're 19 or 85, we're not learning proper skills to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the culture and just better time management and stuff like
that. It's better time management.
For sure.
We don't teach our kids that. That's, I think, the main problem. Even though that's a whole other subject, but then you're on, your Adderall's quick. It works within probably 20, 30 minutes, and it goes for hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. So I can see why people use it, because it works. You know, you're it's just laser focusing. CBD doesn't work that way. It doesn't make you focus like that. It just gives you a little bit more sense because you're more at peace. Mm-hmm. It's more a sense of well-being. So then you're like, okay, I can study, but I probably need to start on Wednesday, not Saturday.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
For sure.
So it's like two really completely different subjects, completely different categories. Because it works on the brain so differently. Mm-hmm. So CBD just gives you more of like a purpose. Like, oh, I probably, if I have a test Friday, I'm going to start looking at it a little bit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, but most kids are like, I'll pop an Adderall Thursday for my test on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's super duper common at school.
But the biggest thing with CBD, it's anxiety. It's the anti-anxiety part of it. But then I think you guys are struggling now more than what me and your mom struggled with. Ours was like, we had it too, but it just wasn't accepted. So we didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, bubble guts before our test, like your IBS symptoms, you know, before your test.
Yeah.
You feel like crampy and you feel like you have to go to the bathroom and all this business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Like, you get nervous. Mm-hmm. And then you take your test and you're fine.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't accepted back then. You didn't really talk about it. And if you were on medication, you shoved it in your bag. You didn't pull it out, you know, take your Lexapro in front of your friends. And now it's just like a thing. It's the weirdest thing I've noticed. I'm like, I don't understand that part of it.
I think it has to do a lot with like, social media.
Because
you're like, I know it's like a kind of a big trend on Twitter. Like, people will tweet about how they have so much anxiety and then they'll make it into a joke. And then you're really just like saying you're admitting all of this stuff, but it's kind of you're hiding behind a screen. Yeah. So I think,
you know, like, I'm on it because then I have anxiety.
Yeah.
And even my daughter will do that. And it's almost like we've talked about it with her. And Trey has also said, is she using that as an excuse so she doesn't have to perform, maybe?
Interesting.
Do you know
I haven't thought about it like that. Yeah.
So, like, and I think that's a lot of kids, though. I kind of feel like it's their excuse. I didn't do very well just out of fear of failure. Mm-hmm. I didn't do very well because I have anxiety. And I've heard that from my patients, too. Like, they're just nervous about everything.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like that's making up for. So I think really that's what it's coming down to. Like, that word is being thrown around now like it's a thing.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of covers up why maybe you're not doing very well.
For sure. I can totally see that. I'm going to grab my charger real quick. My little light came on.
Sure.
But I was going to ask you, my next question was, who exactly is the best candidate for CBD oil?
So are you talking about like student-wise or?
Or just like your regular patient?
The person, but so your body has a system for it. So I kind of see it as, is everybody a candidate for it because we have a system that receives it?
Oh, okay.
And I kind of feel like we're going to discover that as time goes on. I think within the next 10 years, I think it'll be like almost like treated like a vitamin. Like, you take it because it's just part of what you do. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's accepted yet because Trey and I are, you know, working with all this stuff. We're in the beginning phase of it. But I really do believe as time goes on, it'll be like a hormone. Uh-huh. Like, a woman comes into me to get on hormones, but I think it'll also be a thing, like, she'll get on CBD as well.
Okay.
So, you know, is everybody a candidate for it? Because it helps with your immune system, helps reduce inflammation. And most disease is based on those two things.
On your immune system and reducing inflammation?
Yes. That's it, because you're a big biologic specimen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a heightened inflammatory state, you're going to get sick. Mm-hmm. If your immune system is terrible, you're going to get sick. That's how an organism dies.
So would you say that, like, if I was to get on CBD oil, would I, is it acceptable to take it every single day? Or
yeah, I take it every day.
Every day, okay.
I do gummies at night with melatonin.
Ooh.
Because melatonin is excellent as you get older, because we don't make it from the pineal gland. There's a gland in your brain. So it's very valuable for longevity. So melatonin is excellent, and I take capsules during the day. So if I do X milligram amount in the morning, I feel good. I feel alert. I feel like I can handle myself. Then I take a little bit more at night before I go to bed, then with the melatonin, and it puts me to sleep, so I'm not talking to myself. And I think that's what I see this in adults, and that's why it's really been cool being an OB-GYN, because I've taken care of girls 12 to 85, and it's all the same. You would chatter at night. We're talking. It's negative thoughts to ourselves. We hate our body. We hate our hair. We hate, I'm fat. Da 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 da. Like constant, all day long. And I've read somewhere, it was probably like an Instagram thing, but I follow like the medical people. Mm-hmm. Like 70,000 thoughts are in your brain a day, and majority of them are negative.
Really?
You're not like, Emily, you're so cool. I want to be friends with you. You're good. You know, you're a good woman. You know what I mean? You're not talking to yourself like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, look at those jeans on you. You're not saying that. It's always going to be negative talk. And that is where CBD at night comes in, is it just shuts your brain off, so you're not chattering. Oh. Now, Ambien, so the opposite to that, it would be Adderall CBD, Ambien CBD. Ambien is like the opposite of Adderall, but for the same reason, right? I'm trying to go to bed, pop a sleeping pill.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to study, pop an Adderall. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you end up on Adderall and Ambien. It's like uppers and downers from the 60s. So instead of being on Ambien, because that's my old way, let's write a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming in for a sleep issue, here's an Ambien prescription. Instead now, I say, let's get you off of Ambien, which can make you do the weirdest things. You know about that too, right?
I don't. I'm not.
So Ambien, a sleeping pill, makes you get up at night. People eat. People drive. Don't remember.
Wow.
People do crazy dreams. But the worst part about it is the driving. So people have actually gone out and driven on it.
That's so dangerous.
But they don't remember anything. Hallucinogenic. I mean, there's so many down. So it's a different med than Adderall, but I bet a lot of your friends' parents and everything, I bet they've gotten their hands on Ambien.
Yeah.
But do you see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. It's the analogy of Adderall to CBD, which is Ambien to CBD. It's the same thing. One's during the day, one's at night.
And CBD could be better for...
Yeah, like for both.
Mm-hmm. So do you recommend, what were you going to say?
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, so would you recommend CBD to just to everybody?
Yeah.
You would?
My dog's on it. He's every day.
That's amazing.
At the store, we have a whole pet section, and Trey and I are coming out with our own oil and for pets too.
That's so
yeah,
cool.
So Jack is on it. Trey's on it. I'm on it. My little stepkids are going to be 9, so they do a little melatonin gummy at night. They go, it's great. They go to bed and they're fine. And because they'll be up all night.
Uh huh.
I mean, they can be up and just on and on and on and on. They'll stay up. And then, you know how kids are, then they just crash when they're at their absolute worst.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes you more peaceful. But you just dose it small. So you dose everything. It just depends on the person, their weight. But because we have a receptor system to this stuff, and so do animals, horses, dogs, cats, everybody.
That's
it's just
awesome.
It should be just kind of like a staple, like you would take a vitamin C, a vitamin D. It should be CBD, not Prozac, not Adderall, not Ambien.
Not the pharmaceutical ones.
Not the pharmaceutical, but remember, pharmaceuticals are in it for the money. It's big business.
So, how safe is CBD and like versus taking marijuana?
How would you answer that, Trey? How safe is CBD versus marijuana? How safe? Because marijuana, there's safe, yeah, like safe how? Would you, like, I'm not gonna, like, not wake up or.
Yeah, because I know marijuana is still considered a drug, and
Well,
so,
psychotropic, right? So
yeah.
safe meaning if I get high and I go drive my car and I wreck it, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Evidence that CBD inhibits your driving or your
Okay.
functional ability.
So Trey was just saying the WHO, World Health Organization, says CBD does not inhibit any of, like, you can't drive, like, heavy equipment with it. It's not like that.
Okay.
Now, marijuana, so do I think marijuana is safe? Yes, if you do it in your house and you aren't going to affect anybody else or drive or use alcohol with it or other things. So it's not like it's not safe, but they're two completely different things.
Yeah, for sure. So can you overdose on CBD?
No.
Okay.
Now, can you take too much CBD and you could potentially build it up enough in your body to test positive, like on a test and things like that? That's probably on your next set of questions. Can you test positive for THC? Were you going to ask me that?
Oh, actually, I wasn't going to, but do you test positive for THC if
You can.
you
You
can?
can. You can. Because it's so the cool part about it, but the downside to it is you, for the current climate, is you can test positive for it because it does build up in the body through receptors. So would I test positive for it? Potentially, that's the potential, but those tests are also looking for it specifically. You know what
Got
I
it.
mean? So you
Yeah,
could
yeah.
argue, well, it's going to pick it up because it's specifically looking for it, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't feel the effects of it like you would THC in larger amounts.
So, we
So
kind
testing
of.
positive doesn't mean that you feel
Oh.
it like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you're feeling that kind of high thing.
Yes, it's not like that.
I was gonna say, so we kind of touched on this earlier. How does or does CBD fall under pharmaceutical medicine or holistic medicine? And then do you consider the people that you treat as customers or patients?
That's a good question. Okay, so it's both pharmaceutical and holistic right
Okay.
now because of the medication Epidiolex. So now it is pharmaceutical. So you'll definitely have to bring that up in your paper,
Okay.
Epidiolex. So holistic, if it's the other, because I can't say this, I cannot recommend this to say this will help you with MS, even as a physician. Because it's not FDA approved. So we're kind of tangled up with the nomenclature. You know what I mean? Like, just
Yeah.
how will I present it to somebody just because of stupid FDA? Like, on our bottles, we're gonna have to say, this is not FDA approved, da 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 da, just to cover myself. So, does that make sense? So it's
Yeah.
both. And then what was the second part?
Do you consider the people who like come into your
That's right.
apothecary as either a
Those
customer
are
or a patient?
customers
They're
because
customers?
I have not established a medical relationship with them.
Okay.
Now, if they come to my medical practice, I can recommend it to my patients.
Okay. So I guess it can kind of be both. So it just kind of depends on where they're walking into versus like they're your apothecary or your
Yes.
medical practice. That's just
Yes.
kind of what it lands
But I
on.
can't, this is not a prescription.
Okay.
So it's not really patient driven. It would be like me recommending at this point, hey, I think you should be on vitamin D3. I think you should be, which you can get at Sprouts. You can get wherever. You know what I mean? So I kind of see, but that's a gray area again because there's no doctors doing it.
For sure.
So we're in that strange place right now with there's no physician-owned apothecaries. So as of right now, when people go over there, they can also come and establish a relationship with me at my medical practice that I can then get them off of medications and recommend other alternatives and do lab testing and find out what the heck is going on. Because it could be their thyroid is out.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be other reasons why they're feeling like they're feeling. So that's kind of where we feel that we're coming in a very different space than all these CBD stores popping up all over the place that they can't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, hey, I recommend this, but you can also establish a relationship with me and we can work on other things.
Okay. So my last question, which isn't, this is like side note from my paper, but would CBD be helpful for thyroid problems?
I'm trying to think if there was a paper on that that I'd read. I don't think it would be, it's not going to replace your thyroid because you're in your head, your pituitary gland speaks to your thyroid gland. So no, one doesn't have anything to do with the other. But if you've got inflammation, there's some autoimmune thyroid disorders, Hashimoto's.
That's what I have.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yes, for that, because it reduces inflammation.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Good to know. So, so like you said before, sorry, I'm just like, I want to like kind of pick your brain with, so you guys, do you have the first physician owned, apothecary?
What we think of, yes.
Okay.
So we've explored that and we have a team in Dallas that, does our marketing and does all like our Facebook ads and sets up all of our website stuff. They've looked and they can't find anything yet, so we think we're the only ones.
Oh wow.
I know,
that is so cool for you guys.
For sure in Texas, and that's why we've been pretty successful in just a few months, because there's currently with us, is there three stores in Fort Worth now? There's four. So we're the only ones, so people are coming to us because, if you could have four places to go and one was a doctor-owned one, and I've been around 18 years, so I'm not like a new doctor in town, nobody knows me. I deliver their kids, you know, they trust me. So, of course, you would go to the one that was doctor-owned.
For sure, yeah.
So, but we think so far that we're the only ones, yeah. Which is pretty cool, right?
It's very unique. Like, I've never heard of that before.
Right.
So I think it's really cool that you guys are, like, setting it up. And I think that whenever things kind of start to boom in that industry, it's going to be really cool for you guys.
I hope so.
Yeah. And then I was just going to say, so I know you were talking about how CBD comes from both the industrial hemp plant and then the marijuana plant. So would you guys, like, if anything happened in Texas to where it was legalized, would you guys get in on the on the other one too?
Without a doubt.
Really?
Without a doubt.
That's
because
awesome.
We could then order, for instance, we have a chocolate right now. It's amazing, but it only has a little bit of THC in it, the 0.3%.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could order chocolate with a higher percent.
Okay. So it's just all about the percents.
The percentage, yeah. So they grow these plants. There's all these different hybrids that have different effects, right? There's and I'm learning all this stuff too, that they grow certain ones for more mood stabilizing, they grow certain plants for whatever, you know, like there's all these different ones, I guess, that make you feel different. So yes, it would be, we could increase the THC content in, say, our CBD coffee that we cover or that we have at the place, gummies, capsules, oils. So everything would change. Or just say, for instance, we would carry a whole section that has no THC, a little bit of THC, and high THC.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll allow us to have much more coverage of benefit, of like especially therapeutic effects for people that are really sick. Say a guy comes in with stage 4 lung cancer. Who cares? he'll get the higher content. That's why people drive to Colorado. Because, you know, because if you, I've never been, and that's on my list, but Colorado, I've got patients going up there all the time, and they come back with stuff because their husbands are sick. So they're going to get the higher content THC, because THC has therapeutic benefit in a, and of itself for like cancer.
Yeah, that's one thing that my mom said. Yeah, whenever my mom said that she was going through leukemia, she was like, if that had been around whenever she had gone through that, she said her whole experience probably would have been different. She had acute myeloid leukemia. So,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, so she said that it would have just been so different. Yeah. So, yeah, but anyway, I think that's all of the questions that I have for you.
But that's why your mom is so heavy into what she does, because she doesn't want to ever go back to that.
Absolutely.
And you shouldn't get AML. You know, that's nobody should be getting any of this stuff. So it kind of makes you wonder what's going on in the environment and the water supply and everything, you know, plastics and meats and milk and it's gross, you know, but your mom, she sends me stuff all the time about gluten and sort of, that's why, cause she's always all over her boyfriend's butt about it.
Yeah, she is.
Like, you gotta stay, you know, good. Cause we're getting older now and it's like, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. And I know there's so many chemicals like in things that are FDA approved, like Roundup. Yeah. And that can just be so toxic. So I think it's
really make a point in this paper that just because it's the FDA doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
That's really where your asterisk needs to be. Because FDA, there's a lot of shady stuff that goes on. Like people that work at the FDA have worked in Big Pharma before. They leave Big Pharma, they go work at the FDA. That's kind of scary.
Yeah. For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, really? So you worked there and you're kind of giving insider information, you know? So you worked for a big pharmaceutical company and now you're a member of the FDA.
Yeah.
So how's that?
It's kind of like another gray area.
Yeah. It's
for all, sure.
You know, these people, it gets exposed. You know, Netflix has some really great shows that they name people. They name... This person worked at the FDA or Big Pharma. Now they work at, it's insanity.
Yeah.
You know,
so wild.
There's a lot of that. There's so much of that. And people just don't really want to talk about that part of it. But that's kind of like Trace, have you been on our Instagram page?
I'm not recently, but I keep up with you guys on Facebook and I'll see you guys like post videos and stuff talking about the CBD and everything. And I love watching them just because it's like a little educational moment of the day.
Yeah. So if you go to Thrive Apothecary, Trey puts up all the time, like that Epidiolex medication thing is on there. He puts stuff up every single day, and it's mostly about that. Like, we want to educate you. That's the difference between walking into like a kratom or a kratom or where I'm sure they have those up your way, and they can educate you, but it's not like, what else can we do? Can you become a patient over there? No. Mm-hmm. Have you worked with MS patients? No. Have you worked with like ALS patients? No. They're just selling you CBD oil, and they get it. They get the general background for it, but they don't understand inflammation and immune system function, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you have that whole physician background, too.
Well, yeah, like one of my friends came in. She's awesome. She couldn't see out of her eye. Like one of her eyes, she just like lost her vision.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I ordered an MRI. Because I was like, she's on CBD. I'm like, we need an MRI. If you walked into CBD store across the street, they can't order an MRI.
Yeah, they can't.
You know what I mean? So it's like little things like that. The capabilities that we would have over somebody else are a little bit different. But yeah, but the FDA, that doesn't always mean it's not your friend just because it's FDA approved. You know, and they can take that information back too, where they say, we don't approve this anymore. Well, it's been on the market now for 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now you want to withdraw that approval? You know, that would be a really cool Google search. How many things were FDA approved that are now withdrawn?
Because they can take them all back. How many things are FDA approved?
The FDA is all about medical devices and about pharmaceutical. That's when FDA comes in. Mm-hmm. And they will do things like, I want to say maybe some vitamins. But you have to be really careful where you categorize CBD. So we're kind of, you know, sort of like, because we're not really sure right now, like what especially the Texas thing, what we're doing, we're kind of like backing off a little bit of me, like being the doctor doing this kind of stuff, because it is such a gray area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So even though we're doing it, I'm not really out there. Trey's doing all the marketing.
Yeah, because you don't want to be too have your physician's mark on it, because then that's when it could kind of get into some trouble.
For now.
Got it.
And whenever that's going to be lifted,
because
we're the only ones right now. We're kind of pioneering this shop front. Well, right now, if I was a neurologist and I was prescribing this, I could prescribe CBD or prescribe CBD oil, but only for seizures. And there's like two doctors in North Texas that are able to prescribe CBD oil. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a doctor. I can prescribe it. No, I'm not a neurologist.
So only neurologists can?
Only neurologists can.
Wow. Okay.
Because it's been accepted by the FDA for seizures. So even as a doctor right now, I can't say I'm prescribing this because I don't fall under neurology, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
it's all controlling, right? It's all controlling the market.
Yeah, so you can only recommend it right now?
I can only recommend it.
Okay.
But we're hoping things like that will change. Trey's great with like the hemp thing and the farm bill, and he's more of the fact stuff, and I'm more of like the other, like the immune system, the human body start, you know, that stuff.
That I think that's really great. I think that what you guys are doing, it's going to be like, it already is amazing, but I feel like with the way that the world's going, it's going to be like such a big industry soon. So
yeah, and I think your generation is sick of, like, I think a lot of kids are growing up with parents, not you, but like parents with meds and parents on alcohol, you know, parents doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And I think you guys are like, this isn't right. You don't want this for yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't want to work 800 hours a week because you saw what it did to your family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just so I think you guys really do have something pretty special. I think you guys have the opportunity to really say enough is enough. Like, your generation, you're not having kids. You don't want mortgages. You know, you're like, I'm good right now. You're getting married later. The divorce rate supposedly is down because people aren't getting married.
Really? I didn't know that.
Are like, I don't want to do it. And so they don't want a house. They want a lease. They would rather just have an apartment.
Yeah.
Live with a baby footprint. They don't want to have all this crap in cars. And that was our generation.
Things are changing. They're changing.
Because you don't need all this stuff, right? You don't need it. It's a lie. It's all a big fat lie that you made it, so you better have that Mercedes Benz. That doesn't mean a lot of people that made it don't drive those cars.
Yeah, these days.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, but call me anytime. You have my number. And
thank you so much. I'll tell her.
I literally met your mom on Facebook.
I know. I remember you guys were talking about that.
She's my sister from, like, whoa.
I know. You guys have such the same, like, brain thought process. Yeah. Even like talking to you, she's so interested in all of the same stuff. She always tells me if she went back to school, she would totally try to get a degree in like all like health and all that kind of stuff.
But to convince people, that's the hardest part of my day, is convincing people. I don't know. I just don't understand why people, they come to me and they want all these answers. And I say to people, you literally have every answer at your fingertips. Is called your computer. Mm-hmm. But they need, people still need a person in a form of authority of some sort to still give them that okay. Even though you can get on the internet and see everything that I'm telling you, they still need somebody to feel accountable to, because that's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
People still want somebody to say, atta girl, atta boy, you did good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We still want an accountability person. But yeah, I think it would drive your mom crazy. And I think I messaged her that recently, that it would drive you crazy. Like, why am I literally trying to make you drink less or stop eating crap because you're complaining all the time? Well, yeah. This is why, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I met her on Facebook. It blows my mind still. Like, it was years ago. Like,
I know.
6 years ago.
I remember whenever we came in there, that's when you guys were talking. You were like, it's so nice to finally meet you. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
All that time. And she's like my BFF in Austin. Like, I just met, like, a few months ago.
In the comment section, I'm going to link Dr. Garner's page and some of her social media. So if you guys are interested in speaking with her more or getting in contact with her, I'm going to leave her information below. Thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.